Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Burt Show.
We have brought the tradition of Plead the Fifth back. You guys told us that you wanted it, so it is back. I am glad that it's back, and I am equally glad that I got mine out of the way last week. It is Kristen's turn to be in the hot seat this morning. If you are new around here, Plead the Fifth is we have all submitted what are supposed to be anonymous questions for the one person that is in the hot seat. They are uncomfortable. They are cringeworthy. For me and Mo, the goal has always been get through all five.
Never plead the fifth.
Never plead the fifth.
That is not my goal today.
Never let them see the fifth.
Never.
Yeah, based on the one I did last week, I wish I would have.
Yeah, no. I don't know if I've ever done a plead the fifth where I haven't pled the fifth.
Is that right?
It's there. Why not use
it? It's a nice safety net, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But they are designed to be cringeworthy and put that person in an uncomfortable situation, and you got one chance to back out of a really difficult question.
All right, and I love this every week. This is my favorite time of week, and this is the way to start off a Friday.
Anytime it inflicts pain on any Burt Show member is a good day for talking.
The only thing that would make this better is if the person in the hot seat had an electric dog collar around their neck. Wow.
I could just feel a button. He needs therapy.
He does.
He really does.
So last week, Abby got mad at me because when I was asking the questions, somebody said, "Who asked that question?" And I may have slipped up and said, "Abby did." I don't think there was a slip.
Yeah, there was no may. Slipped up.
I thought I could make it more uncomfortable for everybody this week if I just, as we go to the questions, just go straight to the source and I call on a name and then that person ask one of their questions.
No, that's not the way it works, man.
It also takes away the spirit of what we're doing here because you want to go ahead. No, I am C-blocking you on that idea.
We should call it Tommy's Plead the Fifth
and
my rules.
No. Because it takes away the spirit of what we're doing. Then you'll start like catering your questions to that person. So
yeah,
no.
You won't go as hard.
I know. I just wanted to see y'all squirm for 30 seconds. All right, Kristen, question number one.
Yes,
your
sir.
Husband, mm-hmm. Bart, mm-hmm. is a religious listener of this show.
He is.
He always has his earbuds in, and during the time that we are live, he is listening because we often get comments when things go wrong, so we know he's listening. But the thing I want to know this morning is who is Bart's least favorite member of the Burt Show?
That's the one we're starting with, huh?
It's not going to be least. So here's the thing. It's not going to be least favorite, but it'll be least favorite because it's the person he least connects with. You get what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to connect with the 27-year-old female going through dating woes.
So he hates Abby.
Just say he doesn't like me, Kristen.
No, absolutely not. He understands the importance of it to the show, but that's just not his jam. So I think the person that he's going to have the least connection with on the air is going to be Abby.
I'm going to order him a t-shirt today that says, Abby is not my jam.
All right. He's a 50-year-old man. What do you expect?
It's not my demo.
Yeah,
question
not.
Number two.
Just for the, so am I, but I find your life very intriguing.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Kristen.
Yes, sir.
We know that chemistry on the show is very important, so we're going to screw that up right now.
We already did.
Who have you been the most angry with on The Bert Show, and why?
Oh, easily, it's Bert.
Why?
Yeah. I mean, we had an argument in studio one day. I felt I was right. He felt he was right. It got a little bit heated. And then after we took a beat, we came back and we talked it out. And it was actually a really good talk. And there you have it.
I don't even remember what it was about.
Oh, I do. But I'm a woman.
I said, and why? We won't. You got to tell us.
You thought I tanked a segment on the air.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
and to be fair, I did. Yeah. And I should have handled it differently. However, I do felt it was in poor taste what we were doing. And so after the break, got a little heated in studio, which, by the way, I can count on one hand how many times that's happened between Bert and I. And it's literally happened twice in the 13 years we've worked together. And then that happened and it got heated. And then 24 hours later, we had a meeting the next day after the show, and we talked it out like adults, and we're good.
Yeah, this is like any other relationship. I mean, you can't go 13 years without having any kind of friction at all. And if you do, you're probably not in a healthy relationship. That didn't bother me at all, especially we worked through it.
We totally worked through it, and I actually, oddly enough, felt like we were better for it.
All right, we're at the halfway point. Question number three, you have yet to plead the fifth.
That sigh was deep.
I felt it in my soul.
Not including potential retirees, who do you think is most likely to quit The Bert Show in 2025?
In 2025?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Wow. I'm like actually looking at people.
Well, by the way, even the potential retiree is not retiring in 2025. Just to set the record straight.
Well, I'm going to honestly go off what we did for our bonus. So we recorded, here's my little plug, Bert Show has bonus content. You can go to bertshow.com/bonusBS. And we recorded something yesterday where you go into ChatGPT and you put your wildest dreams and wishes and then say, and then you tell ChatGPT, make a day in the life of me in the future. And it does. And it was really cool. We got to hear Abby's and we got to hear Mo's. Mo said F radio. Mo wants to pursue his comedy career. He wants to make changes for the culture. So I say, if anybody, it's going to be Mo.
I didn't mean this year.
All right. So I've pissed off Abby. I pissed off Mo. I pissed off Bert. Who are we going to go for next?
So far, your work is done here, Tommy.
I know.
All right. Question number four. Now, Bert, I know. Can I ask a question about poop?
Yeah, sure.
All right, because I love this question. We know you weigh yourself before and after pooping. Because
only that's going to be a big one.
You've told us.
Yes.
What's the biggest dump you've ever taken, how many pounds was it?
It was in a hotel room, and it was 1.5 pounds.
You remember exactly where it was and the amount.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. She's like a Hall of Fame quarterback, knowing exactly his best touchdown ever, right?
It was February of 2020. I remember it like it was yesterday.
What did you eat? You were like one of those snakes ate, one of those little boys in the Amazon.
I'm telling you, I've been chasing that high ever since. I've been trying to beat that number, and I've yet to do it.
You are the straight... And the fact there was a scale in the hotel room.
It was right next to the toilet. And I think that's what started my fascination of doing it. So, yeah. And now there's a scale in our bathroom, but it's underneath the sink. And it's primarily it's my husband's scale. He's the one who uses it. But every now and then, if I feel like I could beat my record, I'll weigh myself. I'll go use the bathroom. And then I'll come out and I'll weigh myself. And it's always around 1 pound. It's never been over the 1.5.
So not as a general rule, but at 6:07 and 30 seconds, there is no less sexy woman in the world than you right now.
Own it.
Equally disturbing is whoever asked that question.
Right. That had to come from Tom.
You're welcome.
All right, Kristen, you've made it to the end.
Sweet.
The fifth and final question, and I don't see you copping out on this one.
All right.
What is the last time, or what's the last public comment that you saw about you that affected you deeply?
There is one that is stuck in my soul, and I can't rid myself of it. And it's just, and it's stuck there. And it's when, this is going to be odd and depressing. So it was when my dog Parker Jones passed away. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we were on vacation. Abby, we were in Mexico, got a phone call from the dog sitter that our dog had died. Oh, it was like the second day of vacation. It was a nightmare.
That's not a vacation anymore.
No, it was a literal nightmare leaving there, getting on a plane, getting home and taking care of everything and saying our goodbyes. So, you know, Parker was like my first dog, and there's always going to be like a very special place. So we have our other dog, Leroy, who has anxiety, and he has to be with another heartbeat. So we knew we were going to have to get another dog. Didn't know how soon. We got another dog. We got Willie, and it was like, I don't know, like 6 weeks, something like that, after Parker had passed away. And I posted about Willie, and somebody commented about how tacky it was and that I never really loved Parker. If I got it was a really heinous comment about our choice to get another dog so soon after Parker passed away. And I didn't do him justice by grieving him properly, something like that. And let me just say, like, oh my God, that tore me up to no end. I think I commented back. I can't remember, but then I just ended up deleting it off of the Willie post and blocking that person. So
there you go. All five, Kristen.
Well done.
All five. You got through all five this time. You said this is the first time that's ever happened.
It might have been.
Okay.
Nice.
Well done. Tommy, do you feel disappointed she got through all five, man?
Kind of.
But there's definitely...
I was honest.
Yeah, she was honest.
There was some squirm factor in there, so I kind of...
Yeah, and there's
going
to be collateral damage, so you're working on it.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I couldn't stop reading it. I was like, you know what? Let me get some context so I know what I'm talking about the next day for entertainment buzz. Because I'm like, 179 pages is Looney Tunes.
I feel like you need a law degree now in order to do entertainment buzz.
I feel the exact same way, so much so that I had a conversation with an attorney last week because I was like, there's so many terms that I don't understand and I need you to define them for me because I can't afford law school. It's too much at this point. I can take a master class. I can watch something on YouTube. But at this point, like, we're going to be reading about the Diddy case for the next year. We're going to be reading about this case for who knows how long. Mm-hmm. That at this point, like, I have to go back to school.
Should the Burr Show have a lawyer on retainer for stuff like this?
No, just somebody really smart.
Okay.
or me. So Justin Baldoni is suing Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds for $400 million.
I want to know how he came up with that number.
Me too.
I mean, his legal team was probably like, how much can we rack out of them? I mean, the movie itself made $350 million. So I almost wonder if it's like that money plus just some little sprinkle in there. But they're suing, he is suing for defamation and for extortion. And
Extortion.
This entire lawsuit, like, my jaw was on the ground. I felt like every paragraph, every news section was just like another piece, honestly, of hot gossip. Mm-hmm. I would have gone into law had I known that law was just gossip all day, where you're just talking about things that happen in people's lives. It is so, I mean, I hate to call this thing juicy because it started with Blake Lively suing Justin Baldoni for retaliation for allegedly sexually harassing her and then allegedly creating this whole smear campaign to retaliate against her for bringing those sexual harassment claims to him. And then he decided to sue the New York Times because allegedly they had been working with her, colluding with her to get this information out there so that like 12 hours before it went live, they could go to Justin Baldoni and be like, do you have a comment? And then he could be blindsided, not really have anything to say about it. And he was able to then file a lawsuit against them, basically saying like, that was really messed up, guys. And now I want money. So I can't even express to you how many notes I have about this. So I'll just go through everything I have and then hopefully some discussion will spur from here.
Well, I mean, listen, we can talk about this in every single Entertainment Buzz today because obviously this has like captured the nation and world's attention. So if you need to break it up, break it up.
Okay, the lore goes deep. And the first thing that had my jaw on the floor was that Blake Lively was starring in a movie called It Ends With Us. It's what this is all about.
Did you see the one accusation? Where he said
we're almost 3 minutes into this and she hasn't gotten to any of the new stuff yet.
I'm really bad at my job.
No, this is what friends are doing around their kitchen islands. He accused her of not even reading the book.
Okay, that is bullet point number one.
Yeah.
And to me, because I posted this on my Instagram story last night and someone was like, well, that doesn't really bother me because for Game of Thrones they didn't read the book. Do your job.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to be starring in a movie that is based on a book.
About DV?
About domestic violence. And the book is 300 pages or like 400 pages. It's not like she had to read the entire Lord of the Rings series. It was a very enjoyable book with a little bit of romance in it that brought awareness to domestic violence that you're starring in. Read it. So that's what he's alleging. Mm-hmm. Apparently, she had so little information about the book that she had to Google what color the character, the hair color of the character, yikes, which is red, by the way. Justin also brought up the fact that he really wanted to raise money for a domestic violence organization through the proceeds of the film. Apparently, 1% of the proceeds was to go to an organization called NoMore.org. That was something he wanted from the beginning. And allegedly, according to this lawsuit, she refused to meet with the organization about a movie about domestic violence. I am so fired up about this because I just cannot wrap my mind around why anybody would think that this is okay.
But again, this is
alleged.
This is what he is saying. And if that movie made $350 million thus far.
$350 million.
And they just wanted 1% to go. That's so much money.
This is also all alleged just to, you know, it's all alleged. And also, it's coming out in these bulks. So there will absolutely be a response from Blake Lively. But the way PR works is you try to get ahead of it and you throw so much that you have already altered your opinion before the other person ever gets a chance to respond, which is really what is happening here. However, that said, if I'm him and I am really in my heart feel like I'm innocent of everything, this is exactly the way I would handle it.
100%. And
there'll be receipts on that. Like if there were emails going back and forth about meeting with the, you know, DV group and it like, wow. Okay.
So here's what I actually want to talk about because the main juice of Blake Lively's lawsuit is whether or not A, there was sexual harassment on the set of It Ends With Us and B, was there retaliation. So let me touch on sexual harassment first because she made claims that this happened on set, this happened on set, this happened happened while filming. Justin Baldoni's biggest claim in this lawsuit, in my opinion, is the fact that he, A, gave context to some of the things that she brought up in her lawsuit. But he's like, a lot of this is captured on film. Like, we were filming a movie. So when she says that I did this or said this, we have the clip of what's going on. So whether or not you believe Blake or whether or not you believe Justin Baldoni, when this eventually goes to court, a judge is going to see all of those clips and decide whether or not they felt like it was predatory behavior. So
yeah, because they keep it rolling as they're filming.
Yes. So one of them's lying. We're just going to get to see exactly which one. But Blake Lively's team is responding to all of this. So I will tell you what her team is saying in response to the lawsuit on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Each and every day on the internet, you can see really bad takes. However, only one, and I fully back Kristen on this one, can be the worst take on the internet this week.
Let's just say this one starts with an apology for men. And you're like, how can an apology for men be a bad take? But their reason for the apology is what makes it so grotesque. I really need you to brace yourselves for this because it's hard to wrap your mind around what these dudes were thinking. So this is from the F the Nice Guy podcast on Instagram, okay? And I'm going to let her explain everything. Oh, really quick. Go ahead and open up your email. I sent you a picture of the statue we're going to be talking about. The statue's name is Flora. This is a wax statue that is been moved around different places in the UK.
Every one of our listeners right now is, how did Kristen get my email?
No, not sorry. I meant that. Well, you know, we do have a newsletter. We do e-blast from time to time. So if you want to sign up for them, you can. But I'll explain here what she looks like in just a second.
So a bunch of men kept groping a statue, and when the artist called them out, they gave an apology that made it so much worse. So this is Flora, a statue made by Rory Macbeth.
All right, so the statue is, it's a woman, a full form of a woman, and it is a wax statue. It is all white, and she is placed up on a little bit of a pedestal. Her arms are reaching out, and she has flowers in her hands. She has a veil draped over top of her head, but not her face, and she's wearing like this full white dress robe, right? It almost looks like something if you walked into a cathedral, you would see somewhere amongst the church, right? Like, that's what it evoked for me when I saw it. So now you have a visual Flora.
This is just me before I get a spray tan.
Yeah. She be pasty, but she be pretty.
Rory is an artist from the UK, and when he started putting this statue out at multiple locations, he noticed something horrifying. When he started exhibiting the sculpture in the city centers, it was plagued by men who constantly groped and molested it. Now, he happened to be present when some of the men were groping and molesting his statue. And when he called them out, they apologized. And they said, I'm sorry, I thought it was real. These men thought that Flora was actually a woman painted to look like a statue. So, of course, they immediately began to grope the statue. Multiple men tried to kiss the statue. They screamed obscenities at the statue because they believed it was a real woman in there. They believed they were kissing and groping and molesting a real woman. And they genuinely apologized to him when he pointed out it was a statue. Because they have more respect for an item made by a man than they do for a real live woman.
Oh boy.
That can't be real. Are you kidding me?
No, it is.
Unbelievable.
Indefensible, man.
There's tons of articles with the artist showing the statue. And yeah, he would sit off to the side and just watch these men.
Which could be part of the art itself, actually, right?
1,000%. And then he'd see these men groping and molesting the statue. And he'd walk up and be like, hey, what are you doing? This is my art. This is my statue. And they'd be like, oh, my bad, dog. I thought it was a real woman.
Absolute worst. Answer possible. Like, you can't do worse.
You really honestly can't.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And I'm going to throw you a bonus bad take of the week because this came across my Instagram For You page as I'm scrolling and I saw this and I'm like, surely she's joking. But y'all, I don't think she is. So Megyn Kelly speaks for all women.
Oh, that's a headline in itself.
And she actually says this when you hear the clip from the Megyn Kelly show. Megyn Kelly speaks for all women that she does not want obese lesbian firefighters saving her from the wildfires.
Honestly, I'm not trying to be mean, but it's like these three women who are at the top there are all obese. These are overweight, out of shape women. And the last thing I want to see if I am in a burning building is A, a woman, and B, an obese woman. Who takes comfort? I'm going to die, but it's in the presence of an obese lesbian. This is ridiculous. I speak for all women. I believe I speak for all females in Los Angeles when I say we want a strong man to rescue us. That's what we want. Do we ask for too much?
It takes a lot for me not to have any words. I have no words.
I actually watched your jaw drop in the middle of that clip.
I genuinely want to hear her argue why their sexuality has any kind of bearing on their firefighting capabilities.
I mean, I don't know about you guys. I just want to be saved. I don't care who it is. But just so you know, the LA fire chief has been with the department for 22 years. She's a firefighter. She's been a firefighter, a paramedic, an engineer, a fire inspector, a captain, a battalion chief, an assistant chief, a fire marshal, and a deputy chief.
Was she talking about the deputy, or is she just talking about in random any a firefighter that would be?
No, she's talking about the women who are at the top of the LA fire department.
Unbelievable.
I cannot believe you said that.
Yeah. And I have a feeling if that was the reality and she was in the fire, she wouldn't care either. She'd be like, just save me, please.
Y'all, she said it. She said it with her full chest.
She really did.
Uh-huh.
It was awkward in there, too, whoever she was saying it to.
I think these two are the best, worst takes I have ever heard that you should actually now retire the segment.
It
doesn't get any better
than
that.
Back to back with it on this one.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Unbelievable.
That is, wow. Hey.
The Burt Show.
All right, Cassie, moving on here. Who got rejected from a job because they found out the recommendation letter wasn't real?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a story that off the bat, when you hear it, you're like, duh, of course they did. But I actually think she should not have been fired from this job. So I have a friend whose daughter applied for a very prestigious internship. And she asked a former professor to write her a recommendation. And they did. And it was glowing. She is a fantastic student, like cream of the crop. You would be lucky to hire her, okay? So she applied, she got this internship, and then I don't know what it was, but one of the hiring managers just took a look at that recommendation letter and was like, something seems off. So they ran it through an AI check, like you can do for like college papers and stuff, to see if AI wrote it, and it came back as being written by AI. And so they were like, listen, this is not a real recommendation letter. I'm sorry, we cannot take this into account when hiring you. It is false. It is a lie. You can no longer have this internship. And she got let go. But the thing is, she didn't falsify the recommendation letter. The professor who wrote it used AI to write the recommendation letter. And so it comes down to the fact that everything in the recommendation letter, she talked to her professor and he's like, it's all true. I believe all that about you. I'm just crunched for time. So I put in your key attributes into ChatGPT, had it spit something out, and I went through and altered it and signed off on it. Like I used it like an assistant to write a letter about something that I believe. So he's like, everything in the letter is true. I just used a virtual assistant. And so she went back to the company and they're like, we can't. It's AI. Like, this is not a true recommendation letter because it was not written by your professor. Aww. It was written by a robot. And I was like,
even if the professor like called them and explained what they did, like I stand by everything, even though I didn't write it word for word. I had somebody else technically write it for me. I stand by everything that's in this.
That might be the next step. They haven't done that yet. But for the company, they're like, we can't believe a professor would use AI to write a recommendation letter because it's the easiest thing in the world. So they're like, if you're not worth writing an actual letter about, then you're not worth us hiring you.
That just tells me that the people that were accepting all the letters of recommendation are super old and outdated in their teaching, because one of my best friend from college is in dental school at a really good university. One of their assignments was to do something with AI. They were like, create a dental plan for how you would do it, but use it with ChatGPT. So a lot of people are starting to use AI and all of these weird tools in like education. So the fact that they would be upset about this letter is ridiculous.
It's the wild, wild west out there when it comes to AI right now. And you're right, I think the older generations have not latched onto it just yet and don't quite understand. And we're still arguing what AI ethics are even.
Yeah, and I think that's at the crux of it, is it ethical to use AI to write a letter of you personally recommending someone else? And his take was, the professor's take was, yes, because it's an assistant, and I gave it the bullet points to work off, and those were from me.
I feel like if you're not embracing AI at this point, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah, for sure, right? For sure. All right, we got a couple of seconds here, so I wanted to play this audio for you guys. You know, from time to time, you'll hear audio, because all the audio from 911 is on public record. So from time to time, you'll hear like a 911 dispatcher, almost like disinterested in what's going on in the call, maybe because they have heard it, or maybe it's just because they're trying to remain calm, right? So there is audio today of a woman, a dispatcher in London, that is going around that saves a woman's life. The woman was smart enough to call 911 and pretend like she was ordering a pizza because the domestic violence was happening in her house, and she was about to be the victim, if she wasn't already the victim. So she orders this pizza that is to 911, and the 911 operator picks up on exactly what she's talking about.
Hello, police. What's the emergency?
Pizza delivery.
Pizza delivery. Do you require pizza delivery, or do you require the police? If it's the police, say yes.
Yes.
Is the person that's scaring you at the property now?
Yes.
No problem. Police are coming, okay? If he threatened to hurt you, tell me pepperoni. If he threatened to hurt the children, tell me cheese.
Pepperoni.
Okay, the police will be with you very, very shortly, okay?
Just the way, the way it all went down so quickly, and she understood so fast.
The whole pepperoni cheese, that gave me goosebumps.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Back to that thing you're going to see all over your timelines today. It's the Justin Baldoni lawsuit against Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. He is suing them for $400 million for defamation and extortion. I got very emotional in the last break to where I just started like listing out bullet points from the lawsuit, and I wanted to make sure that we tied it all together so it makes sense to you. So last night I read 179 pages. So all of this makes sense in my head, and now I realize I have to now lay it out on a platter for y'all. So we talked about in the first break during the 6 a.m. hour that I got very emotional that Blake Lively allegedly didn't read the book. She allegedly didn't meet with the domestic violence organization that Justin Baldoni wanted to get
Proceeds from the movie. And basically, all of that to say is they were trying to build a character resume, saying that in her lawsuit against him, she was trying to say that her public image was destroyed by him because of a PR campaign. Now, what he's trying to say with the claims that she didn't read the book, and also that she didn't meet with the domestic violence organization, was that she came off tone deaf because she didn't do the work behind the scenes. Like, a lot of their lawsuit is saying, like, yes, our PR team came to us saying we can do a smear campaign, but we didn't engage in it. We didn't have to do any work because the public came to their own conclusions because she didn't do the work, allegedly.
I get it. Had she read the book, had she met with the domestic violence nonprofit organization and agreed to have 1% of the movie sales go to them, had she done that, when she did the press tour, she wouldn't have said things like, girls, put on your florals and grab your friends and go to the movie. Mm-hmm. Instead, she would have had a more somber tone like Justin did in his interviews. So honestly, it's not like, you know, Justin shot her in the foot. She shot her own self in the foot by not doing the work.
And also that she had no business seizing control of this movie whatsoever.
Okay.
Now, I have to talk about the most cringy part of this entire lawsuit. When I saw the text message about this, I was literally like, this is so embarrassing for her if this is true and not doctored in any way. So, Lively in the lawsuit, Justin Baldoni said that from the beginning, it was clear that she wanted to have some kind of control over this film. And she started talking to him about how she wanted a say in the script. And she came to him very like emotional, saying like, you know, on other films that I've worked on, I always kind of feel like I will make an edit, but then I never get credit for it. And she said, I really want to have my hand at writing the opening scene in this film. The opening scene is when the two love interests, Ryle and Lily, which are Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively's characters, meet. She said, can I just have the opportunity to write it? And he goes, sure, go ahead, write it. So she ends up allegedly writing the script for the opening scene. Justin reads it, goes over to their Tribeca apartment where Ryan Reynolds is also present. Obviously, Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively's husband. So while they're there, Ryan is telling Justin, like, isn't the scene so great? She did such a good job. I'm such a fan of it. And they talk about the scene. He kind of brings up some concerns, saying that, you know, we might meet in the middle somewhere. We might take some of my scene. We might take some of your scene. And as he's leaving, another mega superstar celebrity that happens to be a BFF of Blake Lively, people are assuming this is Taylor Swift, also kind of did the same thing and is like praising Blake for the work that she did on that scene. So then in a text message, Blake, after receiving some criticism from Justin Baldoni about the scene, says, you know, I know my husband and my BFF can be really tough stage moms, but I want to let you know that I'm kind of like Khaleesi from Game of Thrones. And if I have to use my dragons for good or for bad, like when it's for good, it's going to benefit someone like you. And this is all paraphrased. She's comparing herself to Khaleesi. And so she's just really diving in on the scene. Fast forward to when the movie gets released. She's on the red carpet and she volunteers information about that scene that nobody even asked her about. She said, oh, you know what? Nobody knows about this scene, the opening scene in the film. My husband, Ryan Reynolds, wrote it.
What? But she said she wrote it.
She said she wrote it.
Allegedly. She told Baldoni that she wrote it. And then Ryan and her famous celebrity BFF.
Yes.
So that's weird.
And what's even weirder is allegedly this all went down during the writers and actors strike. Where nobody should have been writing. Everyone should have been standing in solidarity. So again, that is more fuel to the fire, basically saying this is how much control these Hollywood elites wanted to have over my film. And the reason why he's saying this is to show the lengths they would go to be able to seize control from his film that he created.
Okay, I have a big question here. And that is, after everything is said and done, the movie is out, her character has taken a hit, his character has taken some, whatever. When Blake decided to file that complaint, right, and really get this ball rolling of this, like, and then Justin, now the $400 million lawsuit, now here's where we are. If you are Blake and Ryan Reynolds, before you submit this and put this out for everybody, do you not sit there and go through every single receipt, text, email to make sure your nose is clean in this? Because I find there's a certain level of delulu that you would go after Justin Baldoni knowing all of this,
like all of this can come out about you and you're not going to come out smelling like roses.
So in the lawsuit, there's a section that basically kind of paints a picture of how delusional they may be. So they were all a part of an agency called William Morris Endeavor at one point. Justin Baldoni has since been dropped by William Morris Endeavor, allegedly because of Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds being a part of the agency allegedly went to like an agent or an exec, was like, you need to drop this guy. He's a sexual predator. And that's actually when Justin hired the PR crisis firm. Anyway, back to a conversation that Justin Baldoni and Jamie Heath, the lead producer, had with a WME exec. So they're on a call with this executive, and the executive brings up the fact that Ryan and Blake are really upset with their public image, saying like they really don't like what's happening. So here's what you guys need to do. We have a statement that we want you to sign off on that says that you guys had everything to do with any wrongdoing that happened on the set. And Jamie Heath and Justin Baldoni are like, well, we didn't do anything. We're not going to sign our names to all of these allegations. And they're alleging that that executive basically was like, yeah, they kind of do this because they kind of think that they're untouchable. But, you know, we're siding with them because they're Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. So the whole thing just reeks of like these two Hollywood elites just kind of getting their way. And it really does feel like, in my opinion, Justin was the collateral damage from this. But there is one player that we have not talked about that I think is the reason that this entire lawsuit situation has happened to begin with. Nobody is bringing this woman up, and it's coming up on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
We got $100. I just don't want to give it to you, right? I'm going to give you a very superficial trivia question. I'm going to put three of you guys on the line to compete with each other, right? Every time you get the answer wrong, I'm going to take $10 away from you guys. So we'll go down. But initially, it's $100. You want to play 1-855-BURT-SHOW, and we'll play Lose Burt Money here in just about 30 seconds.
I had a run-in with the Cybertruck, Burt. And I immediately thought of you.
These things are multiplying like freaking gremlins, man. What is the matter with people?
So there I was.
Do they not annoy you guys as much as they do me?
Nah, I just think they ugly, but they don't annoy
you. They're ugly.
I think your neighborhood just has more Cybertrucks than mine.
I might be right up in this area.
I've seen plenty of them, but I actually had an interaction with one for the very first time.
Was it a real person? Was it AI?
No,
was it Elon Musk?
You can't really see in through the windows. Mm. You can't really see in through the windshield. So I'm assuming there was a passenger of some sort there. But what happened was...
You're showing great discrimination against the drivers. I don't know anything about them at all. I just make a blanket judgment about who they are.
Is it worse when it's custom?
This one was custom.
It was custom?
One was custom.
It's better if it's custom for a business because, as I've said before, I think it catches your eye. It's great for business. But if you're rocking that thing and you think you're really cool in it, I hate to say it, I'm having very judgmental thoughts about you.
Well, I'm about to change your mind. So
you can't.
I'm going to try. So there I was in Chamblee at the Whole Foods because I needed to return some of my Amazon purchases, right? And I was actually, hey, pat on the back, I actually returned something that I purchased on Amazon, which hardly ever happens. It just sits in my house. So there I am, and I'm backing out of the parking spot in the Whole Foods parking lot, and this Cybertruck turns in. And so I stop to let them go past me because they, you know, were kind of at that point or whatever. But the Cybertruck stops. And again, it's a custom one. It was like a taupe color or something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What exactly is taupe?
It's like a grayish brown.
Okay.
Like a grayish.
Yes. And so the Cybertruck stops. And I immediately, like, I turn to look because, you know, I'm trying to pay attention. And I see the Cybertruck. And I uttered out loud in my car, like grotesque. And I stop. But then they stop. And I'm like, oh, they want my parking spot. So they're going to let me out so they can take my parking spot. That totally fine. That's what you do. So I back out and I go. And then the Cybertruck goes, they didn't take my parking spot. They were just being nice and letting me out of my parking spot.
Oh, wow.
I had a lovely interaction with the Cybertruck yesterday.
That's your nice story? They just let you out of your spot?
Yeah. Okay. Do you know how rude people are in the city when they drive? Do you know
super
how...
Dude,
that act for Atlanta, that's a huge deal that somebody shows even a remote sense of courtesy in a parking lot or on the street.
We can't let this word get out because I told you guys a couple of months ago, like a guy in a Cybertruck was flashing his lights to let everybody know in upcoming traffic that there was a police officer like a quarter of a mile ahead. He was trying to be a nice guy and warn everybody. These stories can't get out.
I'm just letting you know.
Too late.
I had a lovely interaction with the Cybertruck yesterday.
Broke clock is right twice a day.
All right, well, if we get a third story.
If we get a third one, though, we got to turn it around.
All right, time to play Lose Burst Money. All right, we're going to get three contestants. You guys are all going to compete here for $100 every time you get this answer wrong. I'm going to take $10 away from you guys. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning.
Courtney, where are you calling us from?
Charleston, South Carolina.
I appreciate you calling very much, and thanks for everybody in Charleston for being so loyal for so long. Mm-hmm. Hey, Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where are you calling us from?
Marietta.
Marietta.
Georgia.
Thank you in Georgia that have been so loyal to us for so long. And good morning, Beth.
How are you?
Good morning. Who are you representing?
From South Carolina.
South Carolina. Okay, here's what we got, you guys. This one is subjective, so don't get offended by it, okay? It's subjective. But there is a woman named Madeline Smith who, as a profession, calls herself a love rat investigator. She tries to test men's loyalty. It is no different than really what we do with like our War of the Roses, except she does it in the real world for $65. So a woman would come to her and say, I think my man is cheating. She does the investigation. And for $65, she finds out if these guys are cheating or not.
Okay.
Okay. In her
world. So she's like an infidelity PI?
Yeah, okay. You can call her that. She likes to call herself a love rat, but I think yours is nicer.
Okay.
She says she's had 5,000 clients. Okay, 5,000. And there is one profession that seems to have more cheaters in it than any other profession.
Mm.
In her opinion, what is the profession that breeds more male cheaters than any other profession? Okay? Courtney, we will start with you. You are at $100.
A lawyer.
I'm sorry?
Lawyer.
Lawyers.
Lawyer.
Lawyer is not correct.
Oh.
All right, so we're going to go down to $90 now. According to the Love Rat, one profession. The men of one profession cheat more than any other. What is it, Stephanie?
Accountants.
Accountants.
What?
I'm curious. Why accountants? Why do you say accountants?
Because their life is so boring.
Well, because that's what I do, and I imagine that most people who do that are pretty bored and unhappy.
Do you know a lot of cheaters in the office?
Dude, Steph, spill the office tea,
right,
man.
Seriously. Stephanie, you might have some cheaters in the office, but it is not the number one profession, okay?
Okay.
All right, Beth, according to the Love Rat, the guys in this one profession cheat more than any other profession. What is it?
Let's go financial advisor types.
Financial advisor types. Nope, that is not it. Okay, so we are down to what, $70 now?
Yep, $70 to Courtney.
Courtney, what's the profession?
I'm going to go with, like, police officer, firefighters.
Police officer is absolutely right.
I thought that one.
It's police officer is number one. Yeah. Firefighters were number two. In her opinion, paramedics, military officials, and this one could be predicted here, businessmen that travel a lot.
Mm. But that man in uniform, huh?
At least, that's just one woman's opinion, okay? Don't be offended.
Well, congratulations, Courtney. You just won $70. But every woman out there married to a fireman or a police officer or a paramedic is taking a hard look at her life right now.
I'm glad I'm not, though. But I have a best friend that is a firefighter, and he is still single, so...
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, that's where he should stay.
He sent his number to Abby.
The Burt Show.